So have you ever played that game where you look for shapes in the clouds? A dog? An elephant? A sheep? That cloud looks like a sheep. Hey, that one too. Yep, another sheep. Definitely a sheep. Sheep are almost too easy, aren't they? Those of you who have lived here in this area for a long time may remember that there was an office building at Drew and US 119 in Clearwater in which tens of thousands of folks saw an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in a window reflection until vandals destroyed it in 2003. They actually knocked out the window panes. Well, we all do that in some way. We look to see what's happening in our environment, and we ascribe meaning to things. Meaning to things we see, from tea leaves to tarot cards to windows to seemingly random events and people we meet. Now, I'm not poking fun at this. I do it. My mom says she calls coincidences God incidences. We look at what's happening in our environment. We ascribe meaning to the things we see. And then we go and we do something about it a lot of times. We act accordingly. It could be events, objects, the skies, even food. A fellow from Pennsylvania was driving to the Keys to retire when he heard about this image of Our Lady of Guadalupe in the window. He took a detour to see it. Now, if you're going from Pennsylvania, you're probably coming down 95. So he probably came all the way across the state out of his way to come see it. And he was so captured by it that he gave up on the Keys and moved to Clearwater. A random event changed his life. He found meaning in it. So imagine the Magi back 2,000 years ago. The word Magi, by the way, comes straight from the Greek. It's an untranslated word, like angel or baptism. Those are perfectly good Greek words. Magi is where we get the word magician from. And they weren't kings. The text, the Matthew text, never calls them kings. That idea that they're kings comes from the Isaiah reading and from the psalm about kings bringing golden incense. But, you know, maybe Isaiah is prophesying that kings will bring the king of the Jews golden incense. I have no trouble with that, but it doesn't mean the Magi didn't, right? So these people were not kings. What they were experts. They were experts in, they made a living in looking for signs, looking for meaning in stars, in weather, in dreams. We still do that. Do you remember the Christian pastors who said that certain hurricanes were sent by God to punish people in a particular state? We still do that kind of thing. We're a meaning-making species. We look for patterns. The Magi were doing their job, looking at the stars. And they saw a wonder. Now, it never says anyone else saw the star, by the way. Just saying. They saw a wonder. A star they had never seen before appeared, and it was their job to look at the stars. In their world, this meant something important had happened. I don't know what resources they consulted. No one's told me that. But from those resources, they had an insight. And another word for insight is an epiphany. That's right. They had an epiphany. That the meaning of the star was that the long-awaited Messiah of the Jews had appeared. Messiah in Hebrew means anointed one. The Greek word for anointed one is Christ. All kings in those days were anointed. So King of the Jews, Messiah, and Christ would have been sort of synonyms. But this was very special. This was the Messiah. Now, that's all fine, but why on earth would the Magi leave Persia to go to Bethlehem, to Israel? They weren't Jewish. In fact, Persia had conquered Israel more than once, and Magi is a Persian word. They were from Persia. They probably were from someplace near Baghdad, Babylon, old Babylon, they think, is near Baghdad. They were foreigners. They were Gentiles. They were obviously people of some freedom and means. They could get up and go. Not only were the gifts that they brought expensive, but travel was expensive back then. You didn't just get in your your Prius and drive, you needed a whole caravan of people because it was a dangerous thing to go on this trip. It would take about a month of walking, and there were robbers. Not only that, Roman soldiers were not very eager to let Persians into their territory because they were in conflict. Nothing we know anything about now. We don't know exactly what about the Magi's epiphany compelled them to embark on this journey. Yet they set out in peril with only a general idea of where they were going. They didn't go to the right place at first. They weren't even entirely sure what they were looking for. Some kid. What if I sent you out into downtown Dunedin and said, just go find this kid I'm thinking about, you know? What this kid? Not only that, they weren't guaranteed a return trip home. It was a dangerous trip. They might never come back. They trusted their epiphany. They bet their lives on it, and they went. Would you do that? Would you do that? Some of you are being honest. I can see you. What kind of epiphany would it take for you to pick up, leave the security of your familiar, controlled, understandable world, and go look for something that is beyond anything you know? I got to thinking about who does that? Who does that? Well, every seafaring explorer has done it, from the Vikings to Magellan to Thor on the Kon-Tiki. They had epiphanies, insights that there were other lands, that the earth was round, that there were far-flung cultures were connected. They bet their lives on these epiphanies, and they went. Every one of these journeys was dangerous. Many didn't make it. Yet weren't they, in a way, like the Magi? The Puritans, when they got on the Mayflower, and the some 400,000 pioneers that traversed America on the Oregon Trail, had the epiphany that a home with religious freedom could be found in a far-off land. All these people trusted their epiphany. They bet their lives on it, and they went. Their journeys were perilous. Tens of thousands died trying. Yet, weren't they like the Magi? That was all hundreds of years ago. What about now? Well, Captain Kirk says space is the final frontier. Maybe some of those kids are going in space. I'm not going in space. I have to ride in the front seat of the car, just saying. We're just at the beginning of that exploration. More typically, though, how about those who join the military? They often have no idea where they'll end up, what they'll be doing, but they trust the epiphany that freedom is worth fighting for. They bet their lives on it. And they go. Peace Corps workers, missionaries, aid workers, they have the epiphany that waging peace is also a very powerful way of acting. They bet their lives on that, and they go. Every one of these journeys are dangerous. Many don't make it. Who remembers when I had Sarah in the Central African Republic, and the only assurance I had that she was alive someday was when her Skype bubble was green. Ask me about that sometime. But she made it. She made it. Aren't they like the Magi? What about us? Most of us won't be astronauts, soldiers, or aid workers. Can we be like the Magi? Can we have an epiphany, bet our lives on it, and go? Not all journeys need to be to faraway lands. Indeed, it can be actually more like coming home, becoming who you were created to be. As I said last week, today is the 18th anniversary of my ordination as a priest. The question I get asked most, especially at the new member colloquia, is how I went from being an attorney to being a priest. Well, I had an epiphany. I bet my life on it, and I went. The epiphany began in a dark theater watching the Broadway musical Jesus Christ Superstar. I won't flog that story again. Most of you have heard it. Buy me a cup of coffee or something, and I'll tell it to you. the whole thing. Suffice it to say that that night, in my bathroom in a flannel nightie, I went from being a happy little agnostic, who went to church, by the way, they're not mutually exclusive, to knowing in the core of my soul that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the risen Lord of creation. Everything became different after that because I was different. Church, work, family, it was all different. I was happy about the new depth of my faith, but actually for several years I was unmoored. I'd lost my footing. I didn't know really how to be anymore. Clearly, my epiphany of faith wasn't the end of anything. It was the beginning. It was the beginning, and I had yet to bet my life and go. A priest suggested I take some seminary classes, and while I was there, while I was in seminary, there I discerned the call to ordination, and I doubled down on the bet. I gave up my license to practice law and journeyed onward, even though I didn't know exactly where I was going or what I was looking for. I just kept following my star, as it were. And like the Magi, I've been filled with joy in where I've been led, you. But you'll need to buy me another cup of coffee or something to hear all the details of that story. Now, yes, the first epiphany in that bathroom was the big one. But I've had other smaller ones, but all very necessary on my journey of faith. Some of the journey involved literally traveling to Florida, further than the Magi went in 2002. But most of the journey has been about becoming who I was created to be. It's been gradual. I've had speed bumps, I've backslid, but gradually I'm learning to become who I was created to be, a woman learning to live authentically and joyfully with Jesus as my way and my truth and my life. Anyone can go on this journey. Anyone can go on this journey. I mean, look at the Magi. Like I said, they were magicians, alchemists, and the Hebrew scriptures take very dim views of the Magi's brand of learning. It condemns very clearly sorcery and astrology. Yet, the Magi's epiphany, the insight that they had from doing their astrology, was that the King of the Jews had been born. And they were right. It was God met them in their own learning, using symbols and signs and things that they understood. God met them where they were, to the point they understood it so compellingly that they bet their lives and they went. These foreigners are the first in the gospel to call Jesus King of the Jews, the Christ who didn't come to fight, but to serve, to rule all people with fairness and humility, self-giving, justice, and care of the poor. So, what kind of epiphany would it take for you to pick up, leave the security of your familiar, controlled, understandable world, and go look for something that is beyond what you know now? If I brought you a star, would you follow it? Well, to put my lawyer hat back on for a minute, that's a leading question. It's a leading question because I have a bit of a star. We have plans for, in this season, a spiritual renewal program for everyone. We sent out a letter Friday and the email, and you'll hear more about it in the next couple of weeks. But I hope that you will take our presentation of the Renewal Works program seriously as Magi took the star. You may just have an epiphany worth betting your life on. So what about the hats? I love you. You all, I mean, so many of you wore hats. Some of you said, oh, I forgot my hat. But what's with the hats? Well, your hats, or your lack thereof, are all very personal to you in some way. I mean, we've got a guy that has enough confidence in himself to wear a shark on his head. And we have Caroline, who's been dying for another reason to wear that fabulous black hat. I can tell what teams you support and what your pastimes are and what your level of self-respect is, and whether you have any fashion sense at all. My hat comes from Durham, England. I got this on my sabbatical last summer, and it was a very necessary thing. England was very hot and sunny, and I was getting burned to a crisp. So I got myself this hat in Durham, England. Now, it reminds me of my sabbatical. The rose comes from the last walk of peace, which some women were giving out, some of the Muslim women were giving out these roses. So I put the rose on my hat. And so there's a lot of me in my hat. And there's a lot of you in your hats. And whoever you are, and wherever you are, God will meet you there. God will meet you right where you are. You don't need to be wise or powerful or know what you're looking for or have any fashion sense whatsoever. All you need to do to get started is to look up, to see, to pay attention. Remember, pause, notice, and wonder? It's all part of the same thing. Look around you, notice what's going on, and be open to an epiphany or two. The worst that can happen is nothing. The worst that can happen is nothing. The best that can happen is that you'll find out, on a very personal level, why Jesus' hat, quite rightfully, is a crown.